This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas, presented by U-Mobile.
Today we welcome Dave Dimon, Managing Director for Southeast Asia and Emerging Markets for Experian. Now, Experian is a leading agency in credit reporting and information services based in the UK. Good morning, Dave, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Han. Thanks for having me.
Now, I want to begin by giving my audience a better sense as to your business model here in Malaysia, because looking at your 2018 financial year, your revenue doubled on year. How do you guys make money here in Malaysia? What's your business model?
Yes, sir. Malaysia has been a key focus for Experian for almost 10 years now. We have one of our biggest global development centers located in Malaysia. We have over 850 staff that support our operations, not only in Asia, but across the world. But as you said, we've had a pretty strong year last year, and that's a sentiment that we felt across our whole Asia-Pacific business, but also our whole Southeast Asia business, which is what I'm responsible for. If I kind of talk to the success we've had, let me maybe talk to why we've had that success and then kind of explain what that success has been. So as I said, as Experian, Malaysia is a market we've been very serious about for a long time. Our commitment shows in the level of investment we have made into the country. And as I said, we have a global development center in Cyberjaya. More recently, though, we've spent a lot more time committing ourselves to revenue generating activities. In Malaysia, we have a group of sales and delivery folks who work with some of the leading financial institutions to provide them with solutions that help them make decisions in real time, in milliseconds, to facilitate the whole customer journey around credit. Mm-hmm. So we have market-leading decision engines. We have market-leading data quality solutions, audience targeting solutions, and obviously we help with making sure that decisions are of the highest quality in terms of risk, fraud, and all the other things you'd expect of us.
Right, but still sticking to the core offering of generating those credit scores both for consumers and businesses, correct?
Yeah, so our business in Malaysia, where we don't actually operate a credit bureau that is wholly owned by us, our focus has really been on providing decisions. So rather than scores and data, we really focus on giving real-time decisions that help organizations, both financial institutions, insurers, and telecoms companies, the ability to make decisions in real time on their consumers.
Right, got it. Now, how does the Malaysian story then stack up against the rest of, well, not just Southeast Asia, but also emerging markets, because you are the MD for emerging markets for Experian as well. So how does Malaysia fare in comparison to other EMs and also ASEAN peers?
Yeah, so I think it compares favorably in terms of the market and the context of the market. So when I look at, you know, I sit across the whole of the ASEAN business and obviously have information and speak to clients across the whole region. What I see when I look at Malaysia is a government that's more progressive than others. We saw recently investments aimed at digital transformations, which is a theme that we see across the rest of the region. But obviously, Malaysia itself is a more mature market than some of its peers. And so therefore, I think the readiness for some of our solutions is potentially higher. And that has been a key part of why we've been successful. I think, you know, we're at a point now where companies in Malaysia are taking digital far more seriously. And I think we're uniquely positioned to be able to help them with that, both in terms of how they make sense of the kind of spaghetti system that has built up over time and getting access to the right data. So not just big data, but little data, and how they then can make actionable decisions and insights off the back of that data.
But I want to latch on to a phrase that you used there in describing Malaysia. You know, we are relatively more mature compared to other EMs and ASEAN peers. Our unbanked population is relatively smaller, well, considerably smaller compared to our peers here. In that sense, how much upside really is there for Experian, at least in your traditional business model? If you look at, say, household debt here in Malaysia, it's above 80% of GDP. So that implies that there's a limited upside when it comes to households taking on more financial products and more debt. And then also when you look at the corporate side, you've got Nomura, who predicts a credit crunch for economies like Malaysia, for the lending sector here in particular, as early as next year. So given those kind of headwinds, how much upside is there to the Malaysian story for Experian?
So obviously, given our recent investments, which I'm sure we'll get to soon enough, mm-hmm. Experian clearly does see huge upside in Malaysia. We're investing more than we ever have into the market in terms of both people and technology. And really, the reason we feel confident about that is we obviously operate businesses in the kind of developed economies as well. So we've had businesses in the US and the UK where, you know, some of the metrics are far stronger, and we still see strong growth from those markets. In fact, as a company, we're seeing stronger growth than ever from our biggest, most mature businesses. So that gives me confidence that Malaysia will indeed continue to have huge upside for us. I just want to take a couple of the points that you made there, and maybe the point around household debt and the point around already included customers in the market. So firstly, you know, Experian's role is not to push debt into the market. Experian exists here to make sure that we enable organizations to lend responsibly. We exist here to make sure we give consumers choice and comparison and access to the right services. So just because consumers are in the financial sector, it doesn't necessarily mean they are, A, in the right places of the financial sector for social progress as their needs change, as they evolve up the social pyramid. But secondly, it doesn't mean that they're matched necessarily to the right number of products. So there is a difference, I think, that we see sitting across the region between being financially included and being underserved. So whilst, as you said, recent statistics from the World Bank show that only 4 million of Malaysians are unbanked, I think when you look at the percentage that are underbanked or financially uneducated, that percentage goes up much, much more quickly. And so I think our role in this ecosystem is to, A, make sure that consumers get access to the right choice of products and the right products at the right time in their lives, but also it's to make sure we drive financial education and make sure that people are aware that, of the need to save money, the need to make sensible investments, the need to make sure that the right amount of saving is provisioned for the right education or the right living standard, et cetera, et cetera. So our services go much, much more broad than just, can I get credit?
Sure.
You know, our company exists for the consumer and our purpose is to power opportunities. If I then take your second point around the kind of the crunch, and obviously that's a business risk across the entire world, not just Malaysia. And it's something we've seen in other markets, and it's something we're confident we can repel from our in terms of our own business model. And more importantly, it's something we believe we are here to help alleviate in terms of the way we help people make risk decisions more prudently.
Well, Dev, while I appreciate the nuance that you're offering here, but you know, looking at your core customers here that you mentioned earlier, one, the financial sector, secondly, the telcos, right? Again, there is this perceived maturity when it comes to their customer base, right? So in reality, as you try to grow your business with these core sectors here, I think there's some doubt here as to really how much you can grow your business and grow your services given the relative maturity for the financial sector and also the telco space, right? So what am I missing here?
I think the piece you're missing is if you take Malaysia in and of itself, I can see how potentially you come up with that conclusion. But if you're able to benchmark Malaysia across our other businesses that as a group we operate in 37 other markets, I can see that increasing level of sophistication for Malaysia is there is still a huge level of sophistication to go. So yes, whilst Malaysia against its ASEAN peers, has a level of sophistication, you can actually quite quickly see how much more we can offer to that market as we mature our offerings and we bring our learnings from other markets to Malaysia. And that's what gives me confidence, as I say, for Experian. There is a huge growth runway ahead of us for Malaysia.
All right. Dev, let's dive into your investments here. So very recently, you invested into ringgitplus.com, well, specifically their parent company, Jernixu. You've also got exposure to Bank Bazaar, who also entered the Malaysian market relatively recently. And then you've also got indirect exposure to iMoney. Now, that's by way of your subsidiary is one of the shareholders in Ram Credit Info. And Ram Credit Info has a working relationship with iMoney. So again, direct exposure to Bank Bazaar, direct exposure to Ringgit Plus, indirect exposure to iMoney. What's the strategy here then for Malaysia, given all these investments?
Now, to your point around, yes, there are competing brands in the market. How does Experian work with those? My focus is really the consumer. Our focus as we enter and invest in markets is about furthering our capabilities with the consumer at the forefront. We know very clearly that in Malaysia, Ringgit Plus is the leading brand. And as Experian, our interest is to work at pace. And by working at pace, that means in Malaysia, we work with the leading brand, and that is Ringgit Plus. Clearly, we have positions in other markets with other brands, but those relationships are very much market-centric.
Given, as you described it, these competing interests, wouldn't it perhaps make better sense to do a SoftBank like what they did with Uber and Grab, you know, try to consolidate and make sure you get more bang for your buck, at least for the Malaysian space? Is that on the cards?
I think there is a difference between how SoftBank operate and how Experian operate. When we make investments, and we'll talk about the investment that we've just made into Jinexu Ringgit Plus, it is from a strategic standpoint. We don't invest for an immediate financial return. We invest to generate a combined solution. So all of our efforts in Malaysia are focused around building that combined solution with Ringgit Plus in order to drive some of the financial progress that we talked about earlier in the piece.
Dave, we've got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll kind of zoom out and talk about the broader Experian offering for the world and perhaps some risks and concerns that are tied with Experian. I'm speaking to Dave Dimon, Managing Director for Southeast Asia and Emerging Markets for Experian. This is The Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Breakfast Grill. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me on the line is Dave Dimon, Managing Director for Southeast Asia and Emerging Markets for Experian. Now, Experian is a leading agency in credit reporting and information services. Now, let's talk about the core of Experian's offerings here. So essentially, you score people's credit worthiness, or not just people, but also businesses as well. How relevant is a credit score in this day and age? Because there appears to be some disruption given alternative lending channels, also given the prevalence of cash here in Malaysia and Asian economies, also seeing what other governments are doing, like in China, for example, they are adopting a social score as opposed to a credit score. So what are the merits for a credit score in this day and age and moving forward?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think, firstly, let me just say, as a company, as Experian, we've been in this space for 125 years. So the level of expertise and experience that we have in this space is unparalleled across the industry. And I think, you know, that gives me the ability to talk with some confidence about credit scores and my belief that they are still critical to the lending ecosystem, the credit ecosystem, and actually beyond that. So if I can just kind of talk about in a mature market, and let's take a U.S. market as an example, there is obviously a plethora of data, and a lot of that data comes in the form of a credit bureau, which is generally bank data, which basically tells a lender how a consumer has performed against obligations in the past. And unanimously, it is known across the industry that there is no better indicator of how someone will pay in the future than how they have paid in the past. Now you zoom down to the markets that kind of I look after for Experian in Southeast Asia, and unfortunately, that level of bank data is not as rich. Mm. If we take a market like Indonesia, the bureau does not hold more than 10 to 15% of the population, which means that 85% of people would not even have a credit score. So what that means is we have to look at different data sources, and we have to look at different techniques for scoring to produce a credit score. But that credit score is still pivotal, and it's still vital. And actually, if you look at lenders in our part of the world, they often come to Experian for our credit scoring expertise because that's something they feel confident that they can lend on. So from my perspective, credit scores are still as relevant as they ever have been. My challenge is to make them more relevant in terms of making that data set that underpins them richer so that the credit score itself is more accurate and predictive. And clearly, as Experian, we operate things that we call data laboratories across the world. Those data labs are at the forefront of testing and learning with different sets of data to help us drive new propositions. And the reason we're doing that, as we talked about in the first segment, is we really believe that we play a leading role in financial inclusion. And the only way we will include customers into the financial ecosystem is by giving the banks confidence to lend to them. The banks in this part of the world are hugely capitalized, as you talk about. There is a huge amount of cash on balance sheets. So that the kind of supply should exist of cash. On the other side of the equation, we know there is a huge number of consumers that want to get access to credit, although they would probably call it an access to an experience or an education or a lifestyle. And our role is to sit in the middle and help connect that supply with that demand. So the supply in terms of balance sheet, the demand in terms of customer need. And the way we need to do that is by coming up with a methodology to connect the lender with the consumer and give the lender confidence that they can advance credit with the confidence that they will receive it back in due course. So from my seat, credit scoring is as critical, if not more, as ever, and specifically critical to where we sit in the world.
So talk to us about those different methodologies that you referenced then. I mean, what other factors are you taking into consideration besides, you know, good old credit history?
So there's lots of different pieces that we look at. You know, across the world, we have made significant advancements in how we can leverage data sets that sit with potentially e-commerce players or telco players to drive in a different score. You touched a little bit on social scoring. As you can imagine, with 125 years in this field and significant $1 million of investment as Experian, there's lots of different techniques and attributes we've tried to experiment with.
Going into some of these different platforms, right? You mentioned e-commerce, and of course, you know, P2P also comes to mind. Look, the promise of these platforms is that it bypasses the traditional KYC or know your clients rigors, right? So that could undermine the potential for Experian when it comes to determining some of these participants in the financial space. So how do you mitigate those kind of risks then?
That's another great question. So the way we do that is we are obviously specialists in identity as well as we are in credit. So when you talked earlier about the relevance of a score, so one application of a score is credit, another application of a score is fraud, another application of a score is propensity to buy. There are a plethora of ways you can use a score. A score is not unique to credit. So the way we make sure that we trade with the highest integrity is we obviously have an identity and fraud solution that makes sure that the person is who they say they are. We have a host of KYC solutions around small and medium businesses and kind of ultimate beneficial owners. That level of compliance is of the highest order, as you'd expect from a FTSE 50 company as Experian.
Now, we also note that you guys are working with the likes of FICO over there in the States, another giant in the credit scoring space. And there's this new product called Ultra FICO. And part of the equation in estimating someone's credit score involves cash. How does that work? And could we see that being implemented in a country like Malaysia, again, given the higher prevalence of cash here in Malaysia?
So the Ultra score that you talked about is something that's been taken to market in the US. That's not something that currently we see as an opportunity to roll out in the Southeast Asia market, given the very different market context that we've talked about a few times during this call. What I would say, though, is we're looking all the time to roll out leading technologies that we see advancing in other markets here. We'll be making a couple of announcements over the next 12 months about new product launches that we want to bring to market here. But equally, what I'm actually really excited about is for the first time in a long time, we're actually originating ideas and developing concepts here that the rest of the Experian group is taking note of. And so actually some of the work that we're doing both in Malaysia, but also across the rest of Southeast Asia, is getting real attention from the Experian group more broadly.
And now you mentioned some of these leading technologies. Can you perhaps share more details? Because we note that you have a data lab in Singapore, and you mentioned data labs earlier and how it provides that learning experience to hopefully then translate into other regional markets. So what are you learning from that data lab in Singapore? And again, given the relative maturity that is over there, that you can perhaps implement in other emerging markets like Indonesia, Asia, or even Vietnam, right? How do they correlate with one another?
Yeah, so the data lab that you just talked about that Experian has just opened in Singapore is something we're hugely excited about. We've seen massive advancements in our data labs that we operate as Experian in both Brazil, the UK, and in Europe, and in US, of course. So what we see is the mantra or the mandate for that data lab is an Asia-Pac-wide mandate. It is not specific to Singapore. It made sense to house that facility here, but these guys are focused on advancements across the whole region. In fact, we've already taken some of the pieces that those guys have developed to market, pieces specifically around machine learning for fraud and other capabilities that we've now embedded into our solutions in places like Indonesia. And we expect to be able to announce a lot more significant progress coming out of that group in the next 8 to 12 months.
All right, and we'll certainly look forward to those developments as well. But speaking about fraud there, Dev, that is a great segue into my next series of questions here, because look, One of the primary concerns around Experian and its offerings around the world is data security. Of course, you don't need to be reminded about that massive hack that happened in 2015, affecting some 15 million T-Mobile customers there. Experian was sued. Now there's legislation out of New York and across the states. So what's your messaging to your customers in emerging markets, in other parts of the world, which perhaps don't have the same kind of robust security framework? I would think that we'll be at higher risk. So how do you allay those concerns given the negative headlines that we're seeing related to Experian?
So if I talk about the present and I talk about our responsibilities at Experian, that is absolutely to ensure the security of the information on the consumers and the businesses that we hold information of. And that is of highest order across the entire group. We've spent significant sums and we continue to spend significant sums of money on IT security, as well as making sure that our processes are up to speed and of the highest order. So really, if you think about our business model as a whole, it relies on trust, trust that we've built over 125 years and trust that we will continue to build as we go forward as a business.
Can you realistically restore that trust, given all these high-profile compromises to the data security at Experian?
So I think restoring trust is probably the wrong angle. We have trust. If I talk specifically to the incident you mentioned around T-Mobile, that was information stored on a server at Experian's data center, but it was T-Mobile data. It was not Experian data that was breached. My point around the level of trust we have in these markets is actually our conversations with regulators, both in Malaysia, Indonesia, the Philippines, and elsewhere, is as Experian, we are requested to be in these markets because the level of trust the regulators have in us is of the highest order. The level of trust our customers place with us is of the highest order. And we continue to see that in the way that, A, we go to market. You mentioned earlier our impressive results. But be in the kind of strategic conversations that we're having outside of just commercial discussions with clients and with large-scale organizations.
All right, Dev, let's end with this then. Again, like you pointed out, you are seeing tremendous growth here in Malaysia. You're investing heavily here in the region and other emerging markets as well. We note your investment in South Africa with C88 in the Philippines and Indonesia, Data Lab over there in Singapore, and of course, your investments here in Malaysia. So broadly speaking, for the ASEAN region, for emerging markets, what's going to be your outlook for the next, say, 12 months?
So I think, as you said, the level of investment. So if you look at Experian's business in Asia Pacific, we've actually been here since 1978, where we first opened our legal entity in Singapore. But the level of investment activity and progress I think we've made in the last 2 to 3 years equally outpaces that we saw in the last 20 to 30. And I think that's a theme that you're going to see continuing. I think there's a whole bunch of things that we're going to be announcing in the next 3 to 6 months that make me feel really, really excited. I think as a company, our commitment to emerging markets has never been higher. And I am just really excited about the future for our business in Southeast Asia, our business in Asia Pacific, and indeed our business globally, where we're reporting some of the best results we've seen for a long, long time.
Well, Dev, I certainly wish you all the best. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. That was Dev Dimon, Managing Director for Southeast Asia and Emerging Markets for Experian. This is The Breakfast Grill. I'm Tan Chung Han, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan Malaysia's Mobile Data Service Provider of the Year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.